have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And once you found Luke chapter 4, if you want some extra word this morning, put your finger back in Leviticus chapter 25, way back in the Old Testament. Luke chapter 4 and Leviticus 25. A year of Jubilee, as the Bible describes, it's going to be great news for servants and slaves, meaning for freedom in many areas. And this morning, we'll discover it's good news for us as well to discover the freedom we have, and not just every 49 years. Sometimes, however, though, our freedom is sometimes mistaken, especially in regard to others and sometimes how they kind of perceive it. But in our text today, those who were around Jesus misunderstood his words as well. And sometimes our words can get us into trouble. There was a man who smelled like a brewery, who flopped on a bus seat and sat right next to a priest. And the man's shirt was stained and his clothes were messy and a half-empty bottle of wine was sticking out of his torn coat pocket. And he opened the newspaper and he just began reading the newspaper. Well, as you might guess, the priest that was sitting next to him kind of became uncomfortable at the smell of his appearance with his new seatmate on the bus. After a few minutes, the untidy guy turned toward the priest and he asked, he said, "Say, Father, what causes arthritis?" And in his annoyed state, the priest retorted, he said, "Mister," he said, "it's caused by loose living. It's caused by being with cheap women, too much alcohol, and contempt for your fellow man." "Well, I'll be," the drunk muttered, and returned to reading his newspaper. Well, the priest, he realized the error of his comment, started feeling guilty, and he apologized to the guy. He said, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to be so rude. He said, "How long have you had arthritis?" The man said, "Reverend, I was just reading here that the Pope does, not me." So sometimes our words can kind of get us into trouble. In Luke chapter 4, we'll begin our passage for this morning, beginning with verse 14. It says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread all over the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened up the book and he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of our Lord.' And he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down in the eyes of all the synagogue who were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, he said, 'Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.' And now, dear Father, I ask you just to please bless the word as it goes forth and set your people free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." In New York City, in the harbor of New York City, there stands a lady. And inscribed on Lady Liberty, as some of you well may know, are these words which say, "Give me your tired and give me your poor. Your huddled masses who are yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores, and these, the hopeless, tempest-tossed, to me. Says, I lift my lamp beside the golden door." And on Lady Liberty's crown, there are seven spikes, reflecting the seas and the seven continents that there are, where the invitation stands open to all to come to freedom. And also at the base of Lady Liberty, there's a chain that has been broken. And she stands there in the New York Harbor to represent what this nation was founded upon and the nature of how it operates. She's called Lady Liberty because she stands for our freedom. And freedom is not something that belongs to a country. It's not something that belongs to a nation. But rather, freedom was something that God offered to us in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it states, "From every tree of the garden you may freely eat." Now, freedom can be defined as release from illegitimate bondage, so that you can now experience becoming what you were created and redeemed to be. We have tried to explain that the people with the most freedom in the world ought to be Christians. Amen? Apostle Paul, made it clear in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says that it was freedom that Christ set us free. He set you free and I free to be free. He didn't set us free so we could stay in bondage. But yet many of us today still find ourselves bound through personal bondages known as addictions, and the biblical phrase for that is strongholds, things that are holding us hostage and keeping us from what we know that God intended us to be. Now, I'm not talking about the person who doesn't care, or I'm not talking about the person who's in rebellion. I'm talking about the person who truly wants to be free. They want to leave where they are and get to somewhere where they're supposed to go. And you and I, if we're looking for freedom, it can be found. There are relational bondages where people are bound to people that they shouldn't be bound to. That's known as codependency. Or people wanting to know, do I have to stay in this relationship? Am I really stuck here? And so they're bound to an unhappy situation that they find themselves in, and they still long to be free. There are circumstantial bondages that people find themselves in, whether it's economic, they're bound by the reality of not having enough or barely having enough to make ends meet. Or maybe there's a physical reality of it where they're bound to just feeling bad because of the circumstances that's happening within their bodies. And they long to be free from that disease. Freedom, or the desire for freedom, comes in all shapes and sizes. And freedom doesn't mean that there's no restrictions, by the way. Freedom means being released from illegitimate bondage. In other words, you and I are not free to live in water because we weren't created by that. We're bound by air and the land that we live on. In other words, in the passage that we just read, Jesus, is Christ here, has now gone public, and now he's stating who he is. The Son of God, the Son of Man, all God, all man, all in one person, and he's inside the synagogue with his fellow Jewish personnel. And he comes up to the synagogue in the neighborhood where he grew up in Nazareth, and they hand him the book of Isaiah, which is, he turns the pages and comes to Isaiah chapter 61, and then he quotes it or reads it, and he says in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4, and he's reading Isaiah 61, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the good news," to preach the gospel. And the word gospel, of course, means good news. And when we talk about the gospel, we're talking about good news. And that's what it means. The good news, the good message. It was good news about freedom. And he says, "I have good news for poor people." He says, "I have good news for captives." He says, "I have good news for the blind." He says, "I have good news for those who are in oppressed." All of them need to be free from something. The poor from poverty, the captives from their captivity, the blind from sightlessness, and the oppressed from their slavery. He says, "I have come to declare the good news, and the Spirit of God is upon me, and he has anointed me." Now, when Jesus talks about he has been anointed, it means that he has been identified. He has been recognized through God, through the Holy Spirit, to proclaim the good news. And he is the authorized representative of God to proclaim good news about freedom to us today. He's authorized as the representative of God, as a man, to tell the other men and women about the good news of freedom. Jesus Christ has been uniquely selected to proclaim to people good news about the freedom. And the Holy Spirit is backing him up on that. the Spirit of God is upon me. In other words, this is a supernatural offer. This isn't just somebody talking about, hey, I heard that there's some freedom you can have. This is an actual supernatural offer. And Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has come here today based on His Word to make a supernatural offer because He's been authorized to do so. Now, I don't know what you need to be free from or whatever it is. I know someone that's rightfully and duly authorized to offer that freedom. And so Jesus opens the Bible and says, I have been rightly authorized. You military personnel probably definitely understand what that means. Because some of us have been trying to be free from something for years. You name it, there's probably somebody here that has it. I mean, it may be pornography. It may be gambling. It may be alcohol. It may be cigarettes. I don't know. It may be a sharp tongue. It may be an unforgiving heart. There's all kinds of things. Have you ever seen one of those hamsters on a wheel? Maybe like a hamster who's just continually trying to go somewhere. Sometimes it goes slow, and sometimes that thing really gets that wheel turning. It goes really fast. He's trying hard, but he's just going in circles. And he's going in circles because he's been boxed into a cage. But you know what that hamster needs? He needs someone to reach in there. If it's you or I, hopefully I have gloves on. You or I to reach in there and pick him up out of that situation. Because no matter how hard he tries or how fast that wheel goes, it will never be any further than when it finishes from when it started. Why? Because he's boxed in a situation. But if somebody who's not boxed in can reach in and lift it out and can deliver it from that wheel kind of life, somebody who may have been churning on a wheel and you're tired of running around in the same spot and you look like a hamster just going and going and going. But today I know somebody who's been rightly authorized and anointed with supernatural power with the Spirit of freedom to set the captives free. There may be some here or some that you know who feel like it's hopeless. That it's just my lot in life. And I'm just going to go through it and just try to make it the best I can. And you've kind of given up on ever thinking of being free from a situation. In other words, you've got used to your slavery. You've got used to whatever physical, emotional incarceration that you're going through. This has just become your lot in life, and it's just the way it is. But Jesus Christ said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to proclaim the good news. The gospel that you find in our Word is good news. It's good news about eternity. Because when you trust Jesus Christ, that means you're on your way to heaven. And it's good news to know that the thing that you fear most will never happen. And that's death. Most people, if they gave their greatest fear, would be to die. And the good news about the gospel is you'll never die. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? So as soon as you die, you won't be dead long enough to know that you've died. You'll be instantly with God. And so the thing that you fear most will never ever happen. Because immediately you're ushered into the presence of the Lord. If you come to Jesus Christ for salvation. But the good news is more than just heaven. The good news includes earth. Please notice our passage today. Jesus says that I have come to proclaim the good news to the poor. Now, if you're poor, what's good news? That's it, exactly. That's something going to address your poverty. Something that's going to change your status in life. If you're poor, that means that something better is coming along. And that's good news. If you're poor and next week you're going to be poor, that's bad news. If you're in captivity, it's good news that you're going to be released. And that somebody has posted bail. If you're in jail and somebody posts bail, then that's good news. They're happy. They're going to be released from their captivity. If you're blind, you know that you're going to see someday. That's good news. But to understand how all this works together, you have to understand the last phrase in verse 19. Jesus says that I have come to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now every Jew that was there understood what he was talking about. Look at verse 20. And he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. They were looking for the Messiah who would deliver them. In fact, still today, the Jews are still looking for the Messiah. They're waiting for the acceptable year of our Lord to come. And that's what that's referring to is Leviticus chapter 25. If you'll turn there if you'd like to. In Leviticus 25, it was called the year of Jubilee. Let me explain to you something about the year of Jubilee. Because that's what Jesus was offering them. And it's what he's offering you and I is Jubilee. In Leviticus chapter 25, beginning with verse 8, it says, you are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7, so that you'll have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, and namely 49 years. That's 7 times 7. So, you shall sound the ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. And you shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim release through the land and all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather from its untrimmed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its crops out of the field. On this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his own property. If you make a sale, moreover, to your friend or buy from your friend's hand, you shall not wrong one another, corresponding to the number of years after the jubilee. Verse 17, So you shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your Lord God, for I am the Lord your God. So he says, every 49 years, you are to proclaim the year of jubilee. He says, the things that in your life that kind of have gotten out of sync or things that you've kind of messed up, he says, so every 49 years I want to introduce to you the year of Jubilee where God's going to make it right if you've messed up. And some of us have messed up financially and God says, I have good news. In our passage today, what we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 21, he says to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, he told his audience that you don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to wait 49 years. You don't have to wait and hope that next year is better. God says today, right here, right now, is your jubilee. It's your spirit of freedom. And so now the Jewish people are just staring at Jesus, kind of like he's crazy, and thinking that, you know, I've been dealing with these things all of these years, and now you're talking about today? The bad news is that the situation didn't change. How can he say today when things haven't gotten any better for the Jewish people? And they're still not any better, really. He says, but I have come to proclaim the good news. But you must accept the good news. For the good news that I tell you about is going to become good news for you. In other words, you can hear the good news about the spirit of freedom. You can amen the good news. You can praise the Lord good news. You can sing the song, sing hallelujah about the good news. And you can shout, ain't God great good news, and all of those things. But yet not experience the good news for you. If all that matters when you come to church is to hear the sermon, then you're not going to get jubilee. The spirit of freedom. Because you can't sideline Jesus and get victory. You can't sideline Jesus and experience the freedom in him. You can't sideline Jesus just to come and be blessed or be released. The spirit of freedom comes fully, a full recognition of the lordship of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ doesn't have any say in your life, whether it be lordship or any rule or any control, if the relationship with him is not really a priority, then don't expect to get the release that he's talking about. And the release that he's talking about, he's going to bring it about today, if you want it. Because freedom is a lot closer than what you think it is. Many of you have heard the story about Harry Houdini, famous escape artist. He bragged that he could pretty much escape from anywhere, anytime. And so they told him that we have a special cell, or we have a special jail cell that you can't escape out of. So Harry Houdini, in so many words, basically said, well, just bring it on. And so they took him to this holding cell or tank or whatever it was. And he always kept this little metal object hidden in his clothing. And he'd always use it to pick the locks, and it would then allow him to break out toward freedom. So when he was in his cell there that they put him in, he took out the object and he began to work it. And he began to work it and mess with it and work it, but it wasn't working this time. And so then he took off his shirt and he began to work it. It started getting hot in there, and then work it and jiggle it and twist it and work it some more. And it still wasn't working. And so then it's still getting hot in there because it was after it a long time, so he took off his t-shirt and he was sweating, and he's now 4 hours into this task of trying to get out of this holding tank or cell that they have him in. And so, you know, the great Houdini was now stuck in this cell. It's not that he wasn't trying. And it's not that he wasn't sweating and putting forth the effort, because he was 4 hours into it. And he was making a resolution, I'm going to break out of here. He was very determined. He was very committed. He was very focused. It just wasn't working. So in frustration, he just threw down his metal object that always got him out of a jam that he could count on. And in his frustration, he just kind of fell up against the door. And as soon as he did, the door flew open. He was trying to unlock something that was already unlocked. Scripture says in John chapter 8:36, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And on the cross, Jesus unlocked the cell. And many of us are fighting to get what you already have. And that is the spirit of freedom in this place. And many of us have been in it, but the door has been open all this time. Many of us don't understand the freedom that we have in Christ quite yet, because we haven't had to pay that price or go through that. Many of our veterans have paid the price so that we could allow our freedom. And we have kind of just grown up in that freedom and have become accustomed to that and enjoy it and enjoy its liberties, but yet still not understand the sacrifice that it took to maintain that. And so many of us in our lives, we have become Christians through the grace of God and accepted Him into our heart. But yet many of us do not realize the cost of Jesus Christ in paying that price, because we've never really understood it. When you ask Him to reveal Himself to you, He shows you what you're free from and what you can be free against that holds you down. Many of us who have Christ in our lives have allowed things and strongholds to trip us up and to entangle around our ankles. But there's freedom in Christ. You don't have to go at it alone. There's freedom in Christ, who has the Holy Spirit that can help you. Please stand at this moment, and as we sing, if you need prayer for anything, as our prayer partners come up, if you need prayer for anything in your life, encouragement, just strength, whatever, we're here to pray for you. Whatever it is in your life that you need prayer for, because we're church. We're your church family. And we pray together, we laugh together, and if necessary, cry together. But we're here for you. So this morning, if you need prayer for anything, you come. And if you've never experienced the freedom in Christ, we'd love to help you accept Him into your hearts today, for those who have never asked Jesus into their life. Father, we come this morning to you, and we ask that you show us the freedom that we so rightfully have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name for who you are. Those of us who are still bound, we ask that you would release us, show us the way to freedom, give us the power through your Holy Spirit that so is readily available we have to do is ask. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. This morning we ask, Father, for your grace, mercy, compassion, kindness upon our lives as we sing. Ask that you just genuinely show these people appreciation, these soldiers, of what they have done and are still doing in our country. Please join me in prayer. Father, we love you and we praise your holy name. You're such a good God. I ask blessing upon all here today, as your children, as we go out to fight a war against darkness. We ask that you would just cover us with your might and power, that our words be seasoned as to those to show hope to draw into your light, so that they can be received into your presence and in your kingdom. We love you, Father. In your most holy name we ask. And all the church said, amen. God bless you all. May you have a wonderful week. Amen.